I am really excited to be here this morning. When I was asked to come and be here today, I immediately said yes. And not just because I wanted another opportunity to talk to people, but I wanted to meet people who truly want to connect with what justice is. And I was so thrilled to hear about the book that you were going through. So we're going to walk through a bit about that today as well. But I want to also give you some insight to what CBM is, what we do, and the people that we serve together. So you'll see on the slide, these are actual photos of people from different areas in the world that CBM works with. We work in a few different areas. And what our mission is, we wanted to keep it as simple and straightforward as possible. Our mission is partnering with local churches around the world to bring hope, healing, and reconciliation through word and deed. And as we heard earlier, we are celebrating 150 years. And so there's a big conference that we're a part of at the end of November. And so all of our field staff from around the world, from around Canada, we're going to get together and celebrate this together. So that's something that's really exciting. And now, how do we work? What does CBM do? One of the main themes and what really drives what we do is something called integral mission. And this is where we weave together our works and our deeds. Neither can exist without the other. And so words, that is sharing God's word, love and redemption that's offered in Jesus Christ. And it also invites people to respond by accepting the gift of a new life. But we can't just have that on its own. We also have to add our deeds. And that is contributing to the healing and transformation of people. And that's through the physical, spiritual, economic, psychological, and social programs that we run, not only in our own churches here, but within all the projects around the world as well. And so, like I said, both of these are essential. They cannot work on their own, and neither takes priority over the other. Again, we work in partnership. That is a word that you will always hear and see. If you go to our website, if someone else comes to speak, you are always going to hear that word. We cannot do what we do without you. And we partner with God in that as well. So that's how we work. We work in partnership and with each other. We also try to cover all of our causes and what these look like. We have key causes. There's five of them. And all of our projects fall under one of these five causes. And they are poverty, justice, kids at risk, build the church, and crisis response. And today we're going to be focusing on justice. So these are just a few numbers. You'll see the different causes and just some stats. So within justice, there's a few programs, and I'll talk about some of those today. But just some numbers here. 18,426 women have been empowered. And this is just over the last while. Crisis response, we have refugees have been supported, kids at risk have been supported, and that looks very different with literacy programs, food security programs. And then under poverty, people have received food assistance. And one of the big projects that we've run usually over Christmas is a farm project where people have given money. And that's gone towards people to help build income by having chickens, goats, cows, to help give them some food and some income for their family. And then finally build the church where there's been some teaching, and some of our staff have actually traveled to different parts of the world to teach people how to teach others. And so that's been a big part of our program as well. So this morning, we're going to look at justice. We're going to dive into a little bit about what you've been looking at with the book that you've been reading, Restore Justice. And it invites us to explore the profound biblical theme of justice. And so as we engage with this topic, we recognize that it's not merely an additional add-on. Justice is just something that we'll maybe do that today. It is our primary calling as God's people. If you think, just think about that a second. What does that look like in your life? But first, we want to understand what justice is. In the dictionary, it says that justice means the quality of being just, impartial, or fair. So justice at its core, at its very being, includes treating everybody equitably and impartially, regardless of their background, social status, or personal beliefs. And every one of us falls into one of these categories. You deserve justice as well. And then vice versa, we help get justice for others. It is the embodiment of fairness and integrity, and it promotes equal opportunities, ensuring that every person has access to their basic human rights. The Bible portrays God as inherently just as well. And our understanding of justice is shared by God's character. Micah 6:8 clearly captures this truth, and it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" There says, nothing in here says, give me your money. Doesn't say you have to do this in order to be accepted. It says to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That verse says, partner with me and we can get justice together. Now, what is God's call to justice? God expects us to be agents of justice in this world. And as a community of believers, and your community here at Walmer, we are called to bring justice to bear without discrimination and ensuring fair treatment and equality for everyone. And know that injustice angers God. And when you are angry about an injustice, He's angry with you for that. Our response involves truth, love, grace, reconciliation, peace, compassion, and welcome. Now, what does restoring justice look like? We're going to look at three different key principles, and those are listening and advocacy, speaking up, and justice and reconciliation. Let's look at listening and advocacy first. So the first point, we must listen to the concerns and perspectives of others, even when those issues may seem indirectly related to us. So listening to those in an act of love, humility, and obedience to God. It also involves being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And we hear that in the book of James, the first chapter, verse 19. The Bible also emphasizes the importance of listening as a way to demonstrate God's love for one another. And this aligns with the second greatest commitment, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's in Mark 12. So by actively listening as believers in Jesus, we are called to show patience and kindness and empathy where we reflect God's love. And we foster the genuine connections with each other and with others. And next, advocacy involves standing up for the rights of others. Jesus did this through his words and deeds with love and compassion. And we see these in different ways. So teaching love and nonviolence, Jesus taught his followers to love their enemies, to turn the other cheek. We've heard these Bible verses before, maybe. But he promoted nonviolence and peace as a response to injustice. He upheld women's rights. Jesus interacted with women in a very welcoming way, healing them and performing miracles for them, just as he did with men as well, regardless of their social standing or who they were and what their lifestyle was. He accepted women for where they were and who they were. He also showed this through serving others. Jesus emphasized service as a means of greatness and expected his followers to exhibit the same characteristic of service towards others. And I've already seen that this morning, just as you were walking through the door, just your reception of each other was really, really beautiful to see. And lastly here, he promoted peace. Jesus' teachings and practices were clear about demonstrating love for each other through a life of peace and nonviolence. The next key principle, speaking up. Silence in the face of injustice speaks volumes. I'm going to read that again. Silence in the face of injustice speaks volumes. Choosing not to act is a form of action. And it's the same thing like with voting, or if something is going wrong and you don't say anything about it, when you don't say something, you are acting. So how did Jesus speak up? What did he do? First, he used teachings and parables. So Jesus used parables like the parable of the Good Samaritan to teach about loving one's neighbor and acting justly regardless of societal divisions. No matter who you were going to get care and you were going to receive love. He also used direct confrontation. He directly confronted those who exploited the poor, such as when he overturned the tables in the temple, saying that they were turning the house of the Lord into a den of robbers. That's in Matthew 21. He advocated for the marginalized. He advocated for the marginalized by healing the sick and associating with those who were outcasts, like tax collectors, lepers, prostitutes, all of these people still deserving of the love of Jesus. He also challenged leaders. So he challenged the hypocrisy and the corruption of religious leaders by calling them out for their burdensome laws that they expected people to follow while they neglected justice and only loved the law, but didn't love God with their heart. That's in Luke 11. He promoted mercy and forgiveness. Jesus taught about this, emphasizing that justice is not just about punishment, but also about restoration and reconciliation. And next, we're going to look at the four points that we hear about in the book, Brenda Salter McNeil's Care Model. So each one of these, you'll see them come up as we talk about them. The first one is communicate. We want to share what we've learned about specific justice issues. Next is to advocate, move beyond talk to action. First, you need to understand what the issue is. The next step is to do something about it. And that can look very different based on what you're able to do and give. Next is to relate. Be a part of a community committed to change. And I've seen that already today. And lastly is to educate. Continuously learn and grow. And you are doing that through the book that you're going through. I've read this chapter that you've just read as well. And I can see and hear in the conversation already that this is being put into practice. We're going to move to the last section of our key principles, justice and reconciliation. Miroslav Volf, he's a Croatian theologian. In this book, he reminds us that forgiveness and reconciliation are intertwined with justice. I was at church a few weeks ago, and I was listening to a message that forgiveness and unforgiveness cannot exist in the same space. But in this case, forgiveness, reconciliation, and justice are all connected and cannot exist without the other. Next, following Jesus means seeking both justice and reconciliation, even when complete justice remains elusive. Even when we can't see the answer, we don't know what the end looks like, we need to seek justice and reconciliation and know and believe that Jesus has the answer and he knows exactly what's going to happen. We are just on the journey with him. And then we also want to offer forgiveness and embrace as acts of grace while pursuing justice. There's going to be three questions that I'm going to pose. And this is really just to think about. We can also talk about the questions later and maybe answer some of them. But the first question, how can we actively listen to the concerns of marginalized communities? What specific advocacy actions can we take to address injustice? And lastly, how do we balance forgiveness and justice in our own personal lives and communities? And these are pretty broad questions because there are some pretty broad answers. there are a lot of answers to these questions, and it's very specific to the group of people that are answering them. So what are some ways that you can partner with CBM, Standing Up for Justice? You are already doing that by having me here, and I'm really, really excited to be here to share that with you. There are some projects that do focus on justice. I'm going to share five projects with you. The first one is about the empowerment of widows. There's a group of widows in a section of India called the Sura, and it's an indigenous group in India. And so this project helps to generate income for vulnerable widows. They have the opportunity to get financial support and become established entrepreneurs in their community. We've heard a little bit about peace and reconciliation today. And there's a group in Rwanda that helps with sustainable peacekeeping for young people. And it targets the youth that are vulnerable to unemployment and violence. And so the Baptist Church in Central Africa and in Rwanda and CBM together, we aim to empower young men and women to promote peace in their communities. And this is through practical and entrepreneurial skills. The third one is in Bolivia, and this is called Alas de Aguila, and it means angel's wings. And this project aims to support vulnerable women. Their husbands are imprisoned, and they have no way of making money. And so this project gives them sewing training, life skills to help them start up their own businesses. We have some of their products, like they will sew bags, coin purses, and that's brought back to Canada and usually sold at different events that we have. And then that money is actually brought back to Bolivia and given to those women who have put in their time and effort to make those things. Literacy and family ministries in Rwanda, and this addresses the issues of illiteracy, poverty, and gender imbalance. That happens everywhere, not just in Africa, but here as well. And so through literacy classes and training, there is support for self-help groups and parenting clubs where both men and women are empowered to transform their own families and communities. And that looks like if a man in a family is wanting to go get a job, that person is given the opportunity to receive training so that they can get a job that will give them the money to support their family. And on the other side, if the mother of a family is wanting to do something to financially give to their family as well, they're given skills and training in things like sewing and communication, administration, to help them get a job to do something like that in their community. And lastly, if you love coffee, I love coffee, we have something called Collective Cup. And that is such a wonderful project. We partner with farmers in El Salvador, and all of the money that goes towards the purchase of the Collective Cup coffee, it's a lot of C's, that goes back to those farmers in El Salvador. Some of our teams actually go to El Salvador and work with the farmers to understand how the coffee plantation actually works. And then that way we're able to see where it actually comes from. It's a really exciting project to be a part of. Now, if there's one thing I want you to remember from all of this, I know it's been a lot of information. Remember that justice is not an isolated endeavor. It is our sacred duties as followers of Christ to go forth, seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.